This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, all, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Arvini Branch.
We're going to be talking about automation today. We're asking you the question, which sector or industry could benefit the most from automation and why? We have polls running on Twitter. We have the same question over on Instagram. And of course, you can get in touch via WhatsApp as per usual. 018-789-8899 is the number to get us on WhatsApp. It's Thursday, the 18th of February, 2021. It's 12:06 here in the studio. And I'll be honest, folks, it would be nice if we could have some automated radio hosts every now and again, because I'm starting to feel a little bit tired this week. I'll be entirely honest. I don't know about you two.
Indeed.
Exactly. That's how we're feeling a little bit this week. But that's the question that we're asking. It's based on this story that Arv has here.
A story about how automation won't be taking over all jobs in manufacturing.
But that's not what they're telling us, is it?
No.
You know, we're hearing from a lot of people, it's going to take over your jobs, the robots are going to do this, they're going to, you know, take over your voice. People are trying to scare us, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, with that at the top of the show, we also have a story about why businesses should never be too busy to automate, should you make that decision, followed by
how Malaysia could be left in the digital dust.
Oh, so we've got a down, an up, and then a down.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Maybe.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Arv, kick us off. What have we got?
So this comes from Forbes. It's a very interesting article written by someone who does consultation for automation and manufacturing, how to sort of implement robotics in someone's workflow and how to introduce it to their companies. And it's slightly from an American perspective, but I think it applies to anywhere around the world, especially since we're moving into automation and robotics very fast. Mm. He says that it's unlikely that humans will be working as toll collectors or cashiers once those jobs have been automated, so that's for sure. But it would be unfair to lump manufacturing in with this future state, because the fact of the matter is that job losses from automation have largely already occurred in manufacturing, and the thousands and thousands of vacant manufacturing jobs available today represent just one proof point. So it's kind of like an asterisk, because he says that if the job loss that's bound to happen has already happened.
And a lot of that happened in the 70s, if we look at it.
Yeah, and now automation will sort of create new jobs for people, because the industry itself should focus on real challenge, which is training workers for the new high-skilled jobs created by automation. And it has also created a new high-skill and highly paid jobs for especially for the American workers. So he runs this organization that does consultation, like I mentioned. And his mission is to help people create new products, streamline operations, adopt new technologies, and sell more of their products, all to grow jobs in manufacturing, not remove jobs in manufacturing. So it's a more like a human-centric thing.
Got it.
In the long term, automation has proven not only to be a perfect sort of platform for fewer jobs, but if the technology does what it's supposed to do, the business will ultimately grow and create new high-skilled jobs for the workers. What's more, the decline in manufacturing jobs in more recent history cannot be chalked up solely to automation, because depending on whom you ask, it's also the fault of lower overall output, shifting demographics, and or China.
And or China.
That's it.
That's its own category.
Yeah. New research shows that companies investing heavily in AI have actually grown their workforces. And a recent survey of middle market manufacturers with annual growth rates of over 10% revealed that 45% said employment amid technology investment would stay the same. 28% said there'd be an increase in jobs. And what they want is for people to realize that the very thing they're fearing is what makes their jobs better. That is the future in a nutshell.
Right.
So in other words, the future is already here for manufacturing. The mass exodus of low-skill, low-cost labor, mostly to overseas competitors, already happened. And those jobs are never coming back, no matter how much the local population wants it to come back. Mm-hmm. The real concern with automation is not job loss, but wealth disparities. Because if manufacturing continues and continues to provide better paying, higher wage jobs for its people, then the wealth disparity will increase. So it's not about sort of fearing if robotics and automation is going to take over. It's making sure that everyone who needs an opportunity in manufacturing gets that opportunity. Actual people instead of the tech. So it's very interesting. I mean, we've always been thought to sort of fear the impending technological apocalypse or whatever. But looking at it from this perspective, it's sort of it's a future that's bound to happen, but it's a future that it's not logical for us to be afraid of that future.
Mm. I mean, I know I joked about it at the top of the show, but if you listen to that Matt Splained episode I did with Matt a few weeks ago about how AI and bots can take over our voices, not take out,
imitate
and mimic our voices. I was just playing around a few days ago, and all I have to do is write out what I'd like to say and input it into a piece of software. It then outputs my voice. I can then take that audio file and add it to a different piece of software, which then edits the stuff that I've done, produces it with a background music and compresses it and everything, and then outputs it as an almost entirely finished show. All I've done is type some stuff in. You know, thinking about that process a few years ago, from start to finish, would have taken, you know, however long it takes to produce a show. It could be, you know, a day, a couple of hours, or whatever. Now it's literally minutes of me just typing, and it's a finished product.
And it's fully dependent on your hardware.
And it's fully dependent on my hardware. I mean, there's a cost to it. You know, you pay an amount of money, you have to input the data first and whatever, and it learns. But the idea of that is, it's twofold for me. First of all, it's incredible that the technology can do this nowadays, but it's also terrifying. So there is part of me that is still worried about other people in different industries, not just manufacturing, you know, who will lose at some point to digitalization and automation.
We have to.
Yeah. Mm. What are we going to do then?
I mean, so that's the thing. So that's what it goes back to the article itself, right? It says that It's not about being replaced. It's making sure that you upskill enough to make sure you fit into this new future.
Right,
and I guess
that
goes back to like education, what people are learning in schools and universities nowadays. Like, how are they preparing themselves to complement robotics?
Right. So I guess in your case with the automated AI that has your voice and all, you still have to like be able to be good at presenting and have like a nice tone to your voice and everything in order to teach the AI how to speak like you and all this stuff. So that's a great way of like how you are not using, like, it's not taking over your life, but you have used the AI to complement what you already do. Right?
That's right. Yeah.
So I think that's kind of where this, like, where that parallel would
the
lie.
The gist of it. Yeah.
I mean, there's beauty in it, right? I mean, I at this age now, I can still sound like this when I'm 85, should I want to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's forever got my voice there.
Oh, that opens up the whole Uncanny Valley thing.
That's something to talk about a little bit later on.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap up this segment because we've got to come back with an expert in just a few moments. Who have we got up? Who are you talking to?
We have the Professor Dr. Iskandar Baharin, who is the president of the Malaysia Robotics and Automation Society, or MIRAS.
Interesting. Right, to take us that way, we have the intuitively titled band of Better Oblivion Community Centre, and they're doing a track called Dylan Thomas. That's all up right here on BFM. Quickly, though, which sector or industry could benefit the most from automation? Why? Let us know. We're polling over on Twitter. Get over there. BFM 89.9.
Boosting female ministers. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj
and Christine Wong.
12:17 here in the studio. It's still us, real live presenters. No automation here in the studio. But which sector or industry do you think could benefit the most from automation? Why? Let us know. Here is the numbers from the poll so far.
68.6% for manufacturing, 10.8% for F&B, 17.6% for construction, and 2.9% for others. Dr. P.P. Lim says labor-intensive sectors.
Okay. Chris, do we have anything over on Instagram?
Yes, we do. So we don't have a poll on Instagram today, but we do have like a little question box that you can answer in. And a PDX3156 says construction and manufacturing, we're still over-dependent on physical labor.
I mean, you've got to look at stuff like car manufacturing, for example, which was probably one of the first ones to become, you know, fully automated back in the 70s. And now the consequence of that is everybody's got a car. Some have got two, even three. We don't need that. But what we do need is a bit of an expert to give us some opinions.
Yeah, so we got in touch with Professor Dr. Iskandar Baharin, who is the president of the Malaysia Robotics and Automation Society. He's on the line with us. And Dr. Iskandar, like, how has the pandemic influenced automation, like not just in Malaysia, but all over the world?
This global pandemic has forced people to rethink in terms of how automation will have to be adopted and also implemented. in our daily lives and also in the manufacturing and also services sector. I can say globally now, there's a lot of very creative ideas in terms of how people are looking into what they call pandemic-proofed manufacturing. Pandemic-proof manufacturing means that you can have a manufacturing or a factory that is producing parts, but now they are analyzing back wherever processes that involve people touching the product will have to be taken out from that manufacturing process. Anything that human touches will have to be replaced by robots. If it is not possible, at least robots assisting the humans, which we call collaborative robots. So collaborative robots are really, really being used now. And also mobile robotics and also cloud robotics. Anything that can distance the human from being directly touching the processes. Because by doing so, the humans will, you know, transfer a lot of the diseases and also the viruses. So I can see globally, especially in China and in the US and also in Europe, they're coming up with the standards in what they call a pandemic-proofed automation.
So do you think the fear of circling automation, robotics and human jobs is valid?
This is a normal question that people always ask. Will automation and robotics create fear of people losing jobs? Actually, there's a lot of answers and also responses to this because there's nothing to fear about robots replacing human being. In fact, by the introduction of robotics and automation, it creates new jobs. It also creates new workers of the future, where humans are being replaced with machines, and the humans are not able to spend more quality time, actually. So people will look at more quality time, replacing the mundane jobs and all that. So this will naturally create an adjustment of creating new future jobs or future work. Yeah, just like how, you know, the various industrial revolutions, Industrial Revolution 1, Revolution Number 2, Industrial Revolution Number 3, and also Industrial Revolution Number 4, definitely it will create, a plus and minus situation. So remember the old days when the internet was introduced, there's a lot of automation in the banking, and also the IT sector has played an important role. But now you will see that the banks are now able to function automatically, but the people are now doing other things, you see. So you don't see people creating fear, but in fact, it creates a lot of opportunities. A lot of new businesses will come up, and these opportunities will create a new economy. So it's all about being able to quickly adapt to the change and be able to quickly compete and make new businesses out of this new opportunity in the new technology.
Okay, so locally, what are the industries that are most likely to adopt automation on a large scale in the next 5 years?
In my opinion, locally, the greatest industry that is going to change and benefit from this technology will be, number one, will be the traditional automotive and E&E sector, people who wants to move up the value chain. But the new players, the new up-and-coming players, in my opinion, the growth sector, number one, will be the healthcare industry. With the situation with COVID, the pandemic, there'll be a lot more manufacturing sector or manufacturing players who will be producing, you know, personal hygiene and personal healthcare. So a lot of robotics and automation will definitely be entering into this sector. Secondly, is in my opinion, maybe is agriculture. Why agriculture? Because of food security, difficulty in labor, and also being able to compete In the supply chain. Yeah. Number three is maybe the construction industry in Malaysia. Basically, industry where there's a lot of foreign labor involvement. Because as you know, we have learned a lot from this pandemic. Now they have no choice but to think of a way that with social distancing and pandemic situation that they have no choice but introduce either industrial robot or collaborative robot. And then finally, I think is the logistics industry sector. Why in logistics industry sector is because of the supply chain. Online businesses, when there's a lot of online businesses, your logistics system has to be very efficient. You will see that a lot of robotics automation will be introduced in the logistic and the supply and the supply chain industry. Yeah. Hmm.
Dr. Iskandar, do you think that our education system is evolving enough to accommodate automation?
In my opinion, unfortunately, our local education system is rather slow and is, or I can say, behind in quickly adapting to the changes, the rapid changes of robotics and automation and also the IR 4.0. Take, for example, this situation of pandemic situation where people in industry are very quickly changing their business model and the way how they do learning, getting new skills and adjusting to the global standards of living and production and all that. I don't think our local university is really sensitive and is aware of what is really happening, the rapid changes that is going on in the industry. I must say this is based on my personal experience. Just to change a curriculum is a no-no for them because it will involve a lot of work, a lot of changes, and you have to go through a lot of very rigid MQA system. But I noticed the private university are very much agile and very dynamic. In Malaysia, we are talking about easily about 180 over types of local robots, 186 locally designed robots that's needed based on the industry sector that we have studied. And there's a lot of requirements there. If not, we will keep buying and buying and buying robots. Whereas robot is not that difficult to make and to fabricate, actually. With the proper education system, with the right lecturers, with the right curriculum, with the right environment, I think easily Malaysia can make our own robots. It doesn't have to be very complex industrial robots. Assistive robots or collaborative robot, robot that is able to assist human operation and day-to-day operation. Unfortunately, we are very slow. We don't even realize what is happening to us. We are losing a lot of jobs. And I'm worried that now we have a lot of imports of foreign labor because of the low-skilled worker, right? Soon, I'm worried Malaysia will have no choice because of our education system. We have to really import high-skilled workers now because we are not able to supply this high-skilled worker based on the demand of the industry, like what has happened in some of our neighbouring countries. Yeah, yeah. So that's my opinion on that subject.
Okay, Dr. Iskandar, what rising technologies in automation and robotics are you most excited about? And how do you think those solutions will impact life here in Malaysia?
The one particular niche technology that I foresee and I'm excited about that I feel that we in Malaysia can really take advantage of and really make a good use of it in our everyday life is what I called assistive robotics. So imagine that if you can build a robot, assistive robots, to help our poor fishermen to make their livelihood go higher in terms of coming up with a better catch. Yeah, these assistive robots can be robots that can go down and does scanning and also there's so many ideas that we can spin off just on the fisherman's operation. The second assistive robotics is in the healthcare. A lot of you know, elderly care home, there's no caregiver. There's really, there's a big issue here. So this is where robotics can play a role. Thirdly is, I can see, is what I call this teleoperation. A robot will have to be deployed, let's say, in the agriculture field, okay? A flying drone, or even a drone that moves on the ground, a mobile robot, which we still can call a drone. I know that the oil and gas industry is really hungry and crying for local-made robots, but we are just not able to fulfill that demand. Because there's no real connectivity in terms of the bringing the problem statement from the demand to the people who are doing the supply side, you know. What is lacking now is good robot makers. We need good robot makers. So if you can get a good robot makers, combine them with the good IT companies, and everybody is now doing things over the cloud. So that's where the idea of cloud robotics comes in. And all this, we should be able to deploy these three technologies that I'm, in my personal humble opinion, I'm very excited. Also, there's a lot of people, because of the changes in the pandemic situation. So if we can deploy these resources, give them the opportunity, give them the ecosystem that they can be part of this technology, that we can retrain, reskill them back, we can make a difference. I think that will be quite good. Thank you.
Yeah, so that was Professor Dr. Iskandar Barin, President of Malaysia Robotics and Automation Society, or MIRAS. His comments on the education system locally, I think, was very interesting, because he's saying that, you know, we need to do a lot of catching up and we need to understand what's going on, like, globally. And train people who are going to be entering the workforce. And you know, his opinion is that we're not there yet. We're not doing enough.
And that's echoed amongst the tech community here in Malaysia as well. Mm. You know, they worry that there are not enough kids studying the subjects that they need to enter that workforce and to kind of expand upon that workforce in a few years' time. It's a genuine concern. You look at drone manufacturers, you look at people who work in programming and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There's a genuine gap in skills needed. Anyway, we should take a short break. Before we do, though, we've got a quick tweet that we'd like to mention here.
Yeah, this comes from Ricicle Cactus, who says that all of the above, you know, talking about, you know, which industry could benefit most from automation, F&B manufacturing and construction. He says the 3Ds, like cleaning the highways, road repairs, so on and so forth.
Yeah, 3Ds, they could be dirty, dangerous, demeaning, dirty, dangerous, demanding, you know, all of those stuff. So this stuff that generally nobody really wants to do.
Yeah.
With that in mind, let's take a short break. We've got Supergrass coming up with All Right in just a moment. Don't forget the question we're talking about automation today, and we're asking you which sector or industry could benefit the most from automation. Why? Let us know. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp if you want to take part in the discussion. Twitter or Instagram is at BFM Radio. When we come back, a quick update from Bursa at break, courtesy of Arv. Here's Supergrass on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.